All right, so officially welcome to our first The Art of Channeling Collective, our membership group. And I am going to address whether it ended in December or not. Clearly it did not. But we do need to talk about it. I sent an email out about it, but ho and hopefully, did anyone see that?
I did.
Okay. Couple people. All right, awesome. A few people. All right. So I'm going to start just sharing a few things like that. Wow, the High Council of Orion has some interesting things we're going to start off the year with. But so let's start with the beginning. When we started this channeling collective, it was started partway through the year, and the idea was we'll just take it through the end of the year. Now, the truth is, I have to go back into the whole membership area and see if it continues or if it actually ended. But it just, I programmed it in as an end of December thing, because we didn't know where it was going to go. And honestly, I had forgotten about that. Like, I just assumed we would continue on. But the reality is, it did come to an end. Again, I don't know if your payments are or not. I'd have to go in and look. But I'm bringing it up here and we can talk about it. I know this isn't everyone, but it's more than half. So, do you want to still continue?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm seeing a yes from everyone. Kevin, do you still want to continue?
Well, I just want to make an observation. You're obviously going to have a new crop of channelers because you've advertised you're going to do a new channeling class, right? So it only makes sense to keep this ongoing and infuse it with new people. So I think going on makes perfect sense.
Right. Well, and that was the next part of it I wanted to talk about. So if you feel like, oh, well, I really only wanted to be here till the end, or I'm not getting anything out of it the way I like, or it's not supporting me the way I would like, please feel free to take care of yourself in whatever way you need. Totally respect that. But I am teaching the channeling class, like Kevin said, in February again. And I don't know how big the class will be. No idea. And so there may be some of those people who want to join the group. I don't know. I never know how any of this is going to go. You know, it's like, you know, if you build it, they will come, and you just don't know who's coming. So there is a chance that starting at the end of that class, so it would the class runs for 4 Thursdays in February, and so maybe by March we might have some new people joining who will have just completed the course. So that is a possibility there. So really, again, I'll just basically say the energy feels like it wants to keep going. If that aligns for you, great. And if it doesn't align for you, great as well. I mean, totally respect where everyone needs to be. Of course, if you're not here, we're going to miss you. But you know, that's, you know, our own personal, you know, decisions about what's right for us. So, I will, it's on my list of things to do to go in and check the membership aspect of it and see if it's continuing on, or did I actually program a hard stop? I have no idea. I could look right now, but I'm not going to take the time to. So I will, if there's something to report on that, I'll send out an email to everyone. Okay. So there's that sort of businessy part of that. All right. So tuning in to the High Council of Orion today about what they wanted to do, not just today, but kind of like in this new year, and what do we want to do? Like, how long do we keep practicing channeling and keep working with this? Of course, they think we can always keep doing this, but you know, like, are we going to keep moving with this? So, one of the things that they talked about last time, and To be honest, I was listening to the recording and I didn't get through all of it. So I don't remember how far we got last time. But I know one of the topics that had a little bit of a bookmark on it was working with the energy of really feeling like who do we want to choose to be, and using channeling and support of our intuitive capacity to move towards that. So there was that. Does anyone want to chime in on that, what you remember from last time? Because honestly, I'm in such an altered state most of the time, I don't always remember all the details until I listen to the recording.
It was a long time ago. It was last year.
You're right. Who can remember that far ago, right? Yeah.
I remember last time we, the second part of it, we, High Council Ryan did many sessions with each of us who chose to ask a question. But I
Right.
don't remember the first part at all. Because
Okay.
I, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Carol?
What, referencing some notes, it was talking about allowing ourselves to perceive things other than through our mind, through various senses like organs, whatever, but explore how you feel, how you're getting information in different ways. So to try that, and also that you talked about just that over the next said 10 to 20 years that we will be looking at exploring that kind of how we process it. Excuse me. Information.
Right, not just through our heads, right. Okay. So does anyone remember us actually getting to the part that I have as a memory in our in my head from that call was us having a conversation or experience around choosing who we want to be this year?
No, I think that what if I'm remembering correctly, you said that you had a topic and then, but there weren't that many people of us that were there in the in person. So you just thought that it would be a good topic to bring to the next year, in the beginning of the
Right.
year.
Yeah, I recall that too, Candace, but also that you said, why not, between now and the end of the year, why not generate a list of all the positive things that you've done throughout this past year that have been kind of like going beyond your old patterns?
Yeah.
So kind of exploring new ways, even if it's just like a step. Going beyond what anything, any going beyond your limitations or what your comfort zone, I
Right.
guess, would have been that.
Okay. Thank you. So, all right. So I'm going to share with you, like this is definitely our collective energy, right? Which is how I named it. Or maybe they named it, I don't know. But there's that's been bookmarked in my head. But then when I was tuning into the High Council of Orion, they kind of surprised me. And so I'm actually going to bounce this off of you all. What they said is we want to go into more subsets of channeling, so that all of you have more of an experience about all the different ways channeling can happen. And some of you I know have already done this, but what they suggested for today, but this is, and we may or may not do this, was to actually discuss and practice and hear from them about mediumship, which is a very specific subset of channeling. They also said this year we want it because, let me, okay, because what they were saying was there are a lot of people on the planet right now, and you could be part of them, who are very interested, curious, healing, feeling impacted, by Lemuria, Atlantis, you know, those kind of ancient civilizations, that it's like time to heal that wound. There are a lot who are still walking around feeling responsible or still living with that, the cataclysm of it in their energetic field. And so being able to learn to tap into the energy of those times through channeling, but also being able to, whether it's supporting yourself or other people in understanding their role in it, and not from a blame point of view at all, but understanding to heal. How many of you either personally experience or know people who still are worried about what happened there? Like it's still a lived experience on some level. So they said we'd like to, that now that wasn't necessarily for tonight. And honestly, I'm not ready to talk about it tonight, but they want to start talking about some of those things also from the perspective of working with the energies from any of those, I'm going to call them special times and places, because part of the effect of those places are how we dread and are always waiting for the world to end. Right? You know how, you know, let's go to Y2K and, you know, like all these things, the end of the Mayan calendar, there are all these things that like the world's about to end. And whether, no matter what perspective you look at it from, there's this energy that we could be surprised and the world would end and we have to be ready for it. Now, there are other reasons for that, but it's also in our collective, like these energies are still reverberating through consciousness. And what can we do to contribute to some deep healing for people and those events? Not to ever, I mean, obviously we're not going to change that they happened, right? They did. But then the question is, do we need to still live in that echo, or is there a way to heal and resolve those, the echoes, the trauma, the fear, the people who I work with, or the people who I attract into my practice who talk about those times? Every single one of them felt singularly responsible for what happened. Now, I'm sorry. There aren't that many people who could be singularly responsible for what's happening. And that's zero criticism, zero criticism. But what it means is there's been something like ingested and taken in about responsibility. And if I had done it differently, it would not have gone down that way. And I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to and worked with to heal that. So I thought it was interesting that they brought it up today, because it's not something I think about channeling per se, but it really is an energetic time period that existed. And on, you know, energetically, it still is accessible for us to work with reframing it and healing that in our collective. I thought that was very exciting personally, and something I had never considered. So I'm just tossing that out as a potential if anyone wants to share or weigh in on any of that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Obviously, the High Council thinks the group is continuing.
Well, they're ready to continue. Let's put it that way. With whoever shows up. Melina and then Elizabeth.
This is just a crazy thought regarding the end of the world. And I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, when depending on your belief system, when you die, that's the end of the world, you know. And so with I imagine most of us believe in reincarnation, if not all of us. And, it's not the end of the world, even if it is the end of the world.
It's the end of our time on the planet and experiencing this aspect of creation, yes. But I think what I agree with you completely. And so there are a lot of reasons why we have these scenarios that are embedded in the collective. But I think there's also this disaster scenario, like something that gets out of control. And, I mean, you could say, well, they're the dinosaurs and they're, like whatever, that energy of it could all go south in a moment for many people or a whole society. So, Elizabeth and then Gina.
Well, yeah, and some of the things that are, I guess, coming to light that I've learned about recently or have been exposed to is extending the history of the planet. Because when you look at it from the perspective of the Bible, it only starts 2,000 years ago. Well, the history of the planet is long before that. And most of us know that on an intellectual level. But as that's becoming more and more known, and and that information is coming forward, then I can totally understand how those beings who were in Atlantis, those memories are coming back up for them to be healed. And as that information becomes more and more public, and as more important people are channeling the information of what went on in Atlantis, and that's becoming more and more public, it's stirring a lot more up for people. So it makes total sense. And I think also for us to ascend or the planet to ascend, for all of that whole piece of everything and everyone ascending, that would have to be taken care of because it is in the collective. It is part of the history. It is still there. And a lot of people still hold that suffering or blame or whatever for what they perceived or believed happened because
Right.
it was a. It wasn't a good thing that happened. So
No,
people, exactly.
No, it was
How,
cataclysmic.
yeah, it was kind of absolutely. And yeah, so it makes total sense that that's starting, those people are starting to show up. Those issues are starting to come up, which I think is awesome because what that says to me is it's like the veil is thinning and we're expanding our interest in knowing and our knowing of wanting to know about, okay, what really went on way back then? Because the extraterrestrials were here way back then, right? The ETs were all part of all of that and the different species. So it's bringing, and then it's tying that into it and bringing that piece into the light. Like, I think it's very exciting. So yeah, I'd definitely be interested.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes forward too, because I have no idea. I mean, from the High Council of Orion's point of view. Let's see, Gina, your turn.
Well, I don't personally have a feeling of being responsible for anything in particular there, but I'm interested to in it because I wonder how much unconscious fear lives in all of us as a remembrance of that that's been passed down generation after generation after generation. So
Absolutely.
I'm curious about that specifically in the topic that they're speaking of.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that too, because we can even see that in sort of a shorter historical framework. Just what happened during the Depression
Yeah.
and those energies that some of us still might be impacted by what happened to our grandparents or great grandparents or parents, and that those just sort of they just get passed on. And that was a very intense time during the Great Depression. and the loss of faith, and I mean, just terrible things on that human level. And we can see how the energy, like you're saying, Gina, gets passed down. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of it, is discerning what part was I really responsible for, or was the echo through the collective is I'm responsible. And that's why so many people feel that I'm responsible, that I made a mistake. And when people feel foundationally they've made a mistake, I'm really oversimplifying this, but when people foundationally feel, founded or not, whether it's actually their soul's history or in the collective, that they were personally responsible for wiping out an entire society of people, that's a lot to hold. It's a lot to hold. And so what it felt like when the High Council Orion was talking to me about this, that there's a chance for us to understand and lift some of that and reframe some of that. Whether it's just we're doing it for ourselves in our own experience, we're doing it with each other in this group, or whether any of you are doing channeling professionally, this might come up and you might learn something through this exploration that can help. So they wanted to take us off into that direction in the coming months as well. So that's why I'm bringing that up. Just as those particular ideas that I was doing this between client sessions today, so I didn't have a chance to really, you know, sit down and really dive deeply with them. So I'm giving you the high level of what I had time to connect with them about this sort of, wait, in the coming months, this is what we can explore. But anyway, I thought it was fascinating, exciting, curious, and just wanted to put it out to all of us and see how everyone resonates with all of it. I particularly love the idea that maybe there's some work we can do that can help on that grander level to hold a different reality and help shift things so that each of us individually maybe holds a burden a little more lightly, and also how it can, you know, we know this, that if we heal and enough people heal, then that 100th monkey thing where then other people, they may not have to do the healing. It just shifts in the collective. So Candace, please go ahead.
Yeah, it just seems like some collective trauma work.
Yeah.
You've been doing that in the infinite possibilities, like the end of last year, going deep into the trauma and just like our personal experiences in this, is that, I mean, I don't know how we would approach it, but it's like a collective version of that, and how healing it is once we're free of whatever it is. It's hard to really even know what's on the other side until you are.
Well, especially when it's collective trauma, it might be hard to see, but we know that any trauma or energies that we rearrange, that we work to be in a different pattern, if you will, one that's more aligned with ultimately awakening and that the broader potential energetic stance that we could be holding, we know that it's going to be better no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And I know Ishtar has talked about this recently, but, and like, it doesn't have to be from Ishtar, but, you know, just the idea that if we move from fear, which is some of this Atlantean and Lemurian energy, and we just move to feeling neutral about it, not even happy or excited about what's on the other side, that's a huge shift. Huge shift. And I know from working in the Akashic Records, and, you know, that's a form of channeling also, if we're transforming any, like, we're never going to change what happened, but if we change from feeling traumatized about something to it having not the level of impact that it had in our unhealed state, we don't have to be joyous about anything happening, but it's not the thing that's constricting our energetic field and our potentials and our thoughts and our expectations about life anymore.
Yeah, this sounds great. I was a little overwhelmed when you first brought it up, but now it feels like, okay, let's start today.
We'll see. Well, I personally, honestly, for my own human side, I need to sit with them a little bit with us before we die. Because I feel like I've been in both Atlantis and Lemuria, but I don't feel upset about it. I never have.
Yeah.
I have no idea why. I'm not upset about it. Like, I live with the energy of, yeah, of course I was there. But I live with the energy of, yeah, it was scary. It was, you know, that, but I personally don't live with like I was responsible and that it was a devastation. It was devastating, but I guess I'm neutral about it. Like I just said, I've never actually thought about it that way. But I've never explored it to say, well, who was I? Like, maybe I was a 7-month-old baby. And like, I could say, like, I knew I was there, but I didn't have a consciousness that I had any impact on it. I have no idea who I was or what I was doing there to whether or not I had any, you know, any involvement in it. Gina.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say about it is we all could have been there, but not at a time previous to the dissolution. Right. You know, it could be in Lemuria, it could be in Atlantis when it was all wonderful.
Right. But because that was a very, in a sense, small intersectional time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth. I'm the same as you, Holly. I don't have any of those fears either. I'm pretty sure I was there, if not one, both as well. But I don't have any of those fears that of being responsible or fearing that the world's going to end tomorrow. I don't have any of that either.
Right. And so those of us who might have that in our systems also, if we can channel and understand who we were and maybe understand more of that and anchor more of that in, then, because again, to Gina's point, there were these moments when things degraded, but the reason they were these high elevated times is because they were there for a while, right? And they went on for a while. So there could be a lot of experience also, even more experience of that highly elevated time. So maybe we can help resurrect some of that. So today we're going to talk about mediumship, though. Specific form of channeling relative to talking to the people who have gone before us. And I'm going to be really curious to hear what they have to say about this, but that's what they want to talk about. And so we'll see. But before we do, I know I have to do a channeling of the High Council of Orion, but I also want to, while we're in the sort of talking mode, instead of jumping out, jumping back, I just want to see anyone have anything they want to share or celebrate. Yes, Reet, please go ahead.
I feel like I've missed months and months and months of this, but I've been having really delightful times with my family and new grandchildren and just really feeling like I'm really reconnecting, because I've been up in Shasta maybe 4 years now and haven't really gone down too much back south to San Diego. So I've had the last 2 months at least just down with family and living with a baby. And, you know, it's just like really lovely and not even thinking about, I totally missed last night. I said, last night was Tuesday. What's going on? You know, like I'm still in a loopy place, but it's been lovely. A really intensely nice family time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been
welcome
missing
back it. And it's good to have family time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Alicia.
Um,
I'm excited to dive into mediumship because I've decided to officially make myself an animal communicator. So I'm channeling animals, communicating with them. And when I first started, the ones that I was getting were on their way out. I was one after another after another, and I didn't know why. It was all in the same 2 weeks. So I'm kind of curious about what that will what that's going to open up, because I used to, when I would do cards a long time ago, I used to get the mediumship card, and I was like, I don't ever want to do that. So here we are.
Here we are, however much later, and yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I was surprised when they said that, so I'm curious myself. So glad you're here for it. And then also, maybe you'll be bringing through not just those who are in a transition, but maybe the pets who've already transitioned who want to come back and share messages that way too. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that. All right, Mireille.
Yes, I'm really excited about the mediumship too. Why? Because I did the program last year, a 6-month program of mediumship. So I am interested to see what the Council of Orion has to say about that. I have to say about that. So.
Yeah, I'm curious what you're going to think also. Because, I mean, to be very personally expressive about this, when I was channeling, I actually w was able to bring through people's deceased loved ones and
And
did not want to. Did I interrupt you, Mireille?
no, because the image was frozen, so I don't know if you were talking or it's my computer. I don't know. Because I have to admit, when I was doing the mediumship program, it's what give me. With all the validation, it's brought a lot of confidence in me with the mediumship and the channeling. It's when it started to be maybe more open and believe I receive real messages. It was not so with all the validation, so it helped me a lot. So.
Great. Great. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. All right. So what I was gonna, oh, Kevin, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was a little bit uncertain about whether I should raise the issue, but since you brought it up,
Oh, gosh.
we won't get into details, but Holly did some mediumship with me back in 2007.
That's where it started.
It was really profound. It was really profound how accurate it was. But you've been in resistance ever since.
Yes.
So I'm really curious about why they're putting you on the spot like this. So they're trying to create a breakthrough for you, it seems.
Was that 2007? Was it that long
Yeah.
ago? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was 2007. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kevin has a very persistent relative on the other side.
He was my godfather.
And very distinctive and very sassy. And Kevin and I met, and when we were both doing reconnective healing work, and like if I got near Kevin, this relative would come in, like tap me on the shoulder, like, you've got to say these things to him. It's like, are you, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to. But I did. And there was somebody else I knew who had a Native American guide. It was their main guide. And if I got near that person, the Native American, it was like this gorgeous, elegant chief. And they would, if I got near that person, the guide would tap me on the shoulder and say, I need you to share something with them. It's like, no, listen, you guys, I am not that. I'm like, no. And I really hated the idea of, I mean, so it is interesting. And Kevin, I wasn't going to throw you under the bus by telling that story, but you brought it up. But that's where it started, where I said, I don't want to do this. But And I'll be really honest and transparent with all of you, is I'll tell you what changed my mind about mediumship. Now, I still haven't done it, but I better be careful about what I'm saying, is I started watching, this was a number of years ago, the show called Long Island Medium. How many of you have seen her? Okay, so she's very stereotypic, absolutely outrageous. And but I got really obsessed with watching her show. And I realized how much of a difference it made for people. It was massively transformative, healing, releasing, allowed people to move forward in their life when they had been absolutely immobilized. And by watching her show, I went, oh, maybe there's something to this. Now, I haven't chosen to dive into that realm, but I see that there's profound value to it. And it is a form of channeling. Like it's a specific form of who you're looking to channel and talk to. And if they're available. So let's hear what the High Council of Orion has to say. And then we'll go from there. All right. I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling about tonight because this is a bit of a wild card. I have my outline as I always do, but what I'm feeling is I'm going to channel the High Council of Orion for a little bit, and the floor is going to be opened up for you to ask some questions about this, if you wish. And then we'll go into the breakout rooms for you to practice. Okay. That's my sense of it right now. So, because of that, either Elizabeth or Candace, could you help with question time? Which one of you is going to raise your hand? Okay, Elizabeth. Thank you. I will make you the co-host. So when we get to that place, when they say, if they say, I think they will, like any questions about this, then you could help call on them, please. Thank you. All right. Kevin, you know who's here right now. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. While there's been much conversation and lively dialoguing, ideas exchanged. We're going to move into the section which you've already heard about. That for those of you who resonate with this, it's important. Now, for some of you, you'd much rather be talking to intergalactic beings, ascension guides, off-planetary souls, we'll say, or consciousness. Yet, as we are a collective with a focus on channeling, and while you're living on planet Earth, we would say that this form of channeling is a very important one to life well lived on this planet. Because, as everyone knows, grief is a very potent energy. Correct? And grief is a potent energy whether you had a lovely relationship with the people who've transitioned, or whether you had a challenging one, grief is potent. And the energy of grief can really create an experience of stuckness, not being able to move ahead, immobility. It can bring about feelings of guilt, shame, remorse, and on and on and on. And what happens in the case of mediumship, when you are intentionally opening to channel the loved ones who have transitioned out of the physical into the non-physical, you are creating that opportunity for healthy grief to be present because of the grief that is experienced by literally the human body in the loss of a loved one. But the grief that gets perpetuated by unresolved issues, emotions, concerns, anything that's left lingering, that perpetuates the grief that in what we would say is a non-natural form of grief. And as one opens up to the idea of mediumship, meaning those energetic forms of those souls are still available to bring greater level of understanding, clarity, healing, release, compassion. It has a way to reinforce, if you will, the idea of the continuation of life itself beyond what appears to be life only on this planet. There's so much value to this. It is such a healing experience for those who are involved and open to this, that what you're doing is elevating the possibility of the life, not just and the energetic experience, not just of the person left on the planet, but the one who crossed over. So we could make lists of benefits of mediumship. One of the things we wanted to say about grief is grief does not need to be managed with mediumship. Grief is a natural process of adapting to separation. So grief is fine. So we're not going to move into mediumship to say, I get to abort the need to grieve. The human experience can always be missing and feel sad and unresolved to a degree. But the idea when you bring in mediumship is there is such deep healing and resolution that's possible. It allows, as has already been said, grief to stay in its healthy expression and experience. The other piece, and all of you know this and are aware of this, that there is the human personality that's present, the human inclinations, the thought forms, the emotional makeup, all of that, when one is in a human incarnation. And that personality, if you will, could bring great love, and it can also damage, correct? Or be harmful or hurtful or misunderstood. And when one transitions to the non-physical, as you all know, there can be a very different perspective, correct? And the sharing of that perspective, the altered perspective, so that what the person who's in still incarnated has an opportunity to learn who they were with in a new way. Does that make sense to everyone? So, because you could say the personality of this person who was my parent, my sister, my lover, my friend, whomever, was very challenging, maybe destructive, hurtful, maybe whatever it might be. And that is what you've anchored in, because generally we say that is who they are, not who their personality in this incarnation is, correct? We don't often talk about that in a human context. If you think about anybody who's challenging or has been challenging in your life, do you ever actually think or say, well, the personality that's part of this incarnation for them is really hard for me? No, you just say it's them. But what it is that it's the personality that you're interacting with. And yet as they transition to the non-physical, and if you have an interaction with them, you get to understand who they are at a level outside of personality. They can share a new perspective and a new understanding about themselves. And also you get to receive that new aspect of who they are at a level that's not encumbered, if you will, by the personality. So how do you open up to channeling when you're looking at a subset of it and you would like to intentionally channel those who've gone to the other side, those who've transitioned? So we're going to go through a few steps here to give you an idea if you haven't already known how to do this or tripped into it yourself. But we're going to speak about it in terms of universal layers, if you will. If you think about the planet being here, and as humans, you're having your experiences on the planet. If you're doing a lot of the channeling that has been done in this group, some of it, if you're here on the planet, you are drawing down and channeling, you know, galactic energies and all these very high energies, and you're bringing them. This is not exactly how it happens, but it's a good visual. You're bringing them down through the ethers, if you will, to you. But when you're doing mediumship, the energetic height, if you will, is much closer. So if this is a person, and then it's like almost like the first level of atmosphere. Please don't take that seriously, but you're not reaching out to the galactic realms or the multidimensional realms to speak to those who have crossed over. They're much closer. So if you're used to being aware of shifting your energy to include more, and maybe you can get a sense of that when you're channeling, when you are reaching out, if you will, energetically in the mediumship realm, you don't have to energetically reach as far. Hopefully that makes sense to you. It's closer in, especially because if you are sitting across from somebody else or sitting with somebody else, and the intention is to speak with or bring through someone's loved one who's crossed over, that is known in the energetic field. And so that loved one energetically comes closer. So we would say that for many of you, no matter all the channeling you've done, if you feel comfortable with mediumship, you will find it an easier form because it's also founded in an earth-based relationship. And so it's more energetically familiar. So it can be an easier, more accessible form of channeling if you choose to do this. But let's play with this and see. Now, what we would say, there are many ways to do this, but what we would suggest is if you're with someone and you are in a conscious and intentional mediumship relationship, meaning one of you is intentionally going to be that medium that way. And medium means the one in between, right? So you're going to be the one in between this communication between the loved one and the person still in the physical body. One of the ways to get yourself ready for it, as you would probably already imagine, is centering yourself, feeling yourself grounded in your body, and really dropping your awareness in your heart and creating a heart connection with that other person. Now, by definition, that person with you would be there by choice. And so you would know that permission is there, but particularly when you are channeling and bringing through people's loved ones, it's very important for them to be in a yes around it, for them to be opened up to and choosing to invite in the presence of the loved one or a loved one. Because of this, the closeness energetically of the human experience in this type of channeling, it's very important that they're in their yes. Now let's talk about who's going to come through. Because the person who's incarnated may have a desire to have a conversation with someone who's crossed over. They may or they may not be available. They may or may not be in a place of choosing, meaning the one on the other side. So it's important to know and understand and in a sense be neutral enough that even though the person who you're doing the mediumship for might have a strong desire to hear from this person, this individual, and you will automatically want to bring through that person because of your love and your care and your compassion. So staying in that very neutral place for yourself and opening up to, are they here? Are they available? Do they have something they like to share is really an essential first step. And your neutrality will help you see, sense, and feel that more. The other piece of it is somebody may really want to hear from a particular loved one that's crossed over, but there are times when there might be a stronger personality that has crossed over that in a sense gets to the front of the line, meaning you might want to hear from your grandmother who you loved, but your father might have a stronger personality on the other side and basically say, no, I have something to say here. And this is all the more reason for you to be invited into that very neutral space so that you might feel a presence, but know that it may or may not be the energy of who they're anticipating. So staying in that neutral place, and as you're opening up to it and you're sensing an energy there, it's okay, especially in the initial moments, to take your time and have an inner conversation with the spirit who showed up as much as you can. Who are you? What kind of relationship it is? If there's something distinctive about them that they would like to share that might make it very confirming to whoever's, to the person in the human experience. But we're opening up to this as a beginning stage right now. So, but the idea is it's okay for you. You need to hear this permission that it's okay for you to need to take a minute to connect with the non-physical and get a sense of who they are. Do you need to know all of it immediately? No, you could say, I'm sensing a man here. You know, as opposed to a woman or a pet or something like that. And as you talk about it, you can invite the spirit to work with you so that you have enough of the right information to share with them. Because you as the medium, the person in between, can guide the one on the other side to share with you enough that creates a meaningful exchange with the person who's in their physical body. So let's take a pause because that was a lot to be said and open up to any questions you might have right now.
Go ahead, Carol.
I don't know if this would count as an example of mediumship, but when one of Reet's new grandchildren was getting ready to be born, she was coming quite early, like almost more than 2 months. It was looking like she was going to be born very prematurely. And so Reet was asking for spheres so that she would be full term. And then all of a sudden, this little being came to me and told me, they said, first that she was ready to come and she was going to be okay, that it was her time to come. She couldn't wait any longer. She wasn't willing to wait much longer. And I think she waited another week and a half to come. But that she had work to, she was ready to get started doing her work. She had a lot of work to do on the planet. And, it came to me later that and she also told me just before, you know, like right after, she said, oh, you guys are so 3D, you know, we're coming in and we're ready to bust open all those old paradigms, you know, that's in the past, get with it, you know what I mean? That type of thinking. And so what later came into play was that her grandmother was anchored into the thinking that she needed to stay full term, and that's why she couldn't get through to her directly. But then later on, Reed had, I guess, received information that she needed to build a little nest and invite these little beings in. So Lily was already born, but there was another baby coming. That's her cousin by another son. And invite these beings in. And so she was able to establish a connection with the little grandson before he was born. So I don't know if, because it was Lily, they already had a name for her. They knew it was going to be a girl. That she came in and I didn't have any connection to her, but she chose me, and I think because of the relationship that I have with Reed, says, talk to grandma, just say, it's going to be okay, you know, and I'm coming. So would that have been mediumship or just channeling?
Well, all mediumship is channeling.
Okay.
So it gets into nuanced differences. I mean, if from the strictest sense of the term mediumship, it's about channeling those who have passed on.
Okay.
But if you look at mediumship, meaning there's an intermediary, almost all channeling could still be looked at as mediumship as well. The reality is the non-physical being, the baby in this case, who was in utero, was able to communicate. Some would argue is at that point, she wasn't fully in spirit because she was in her physical body.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
So it could be telepathic
Oh, okay.
communication versus mediumship specifically.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Because she was in her body.
Yes.
Because she was, it was far enough along in her gestational age that she would have been in her physical body at that point.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Elena, go ahead.
So, I used to go to a spiritualist church. And the reverend there used to say that mediums have to have ectoplasm, that not everybody could be a like a physical medium where your voice changes, and that the mediums had it was like a chemistry that not everyone has. Is that how you see it?
In the definition of what they were saying, the medium being somebody like has already been discussed, one who connects with those who've crossed over.
Correct. And that they had this chemical composition in their bodies, physical bodies, called ectoplasm. And that I mean, one time he said to a person, that he could see the green stuff coming out of his ears, that was ectoplasm, and that he would be a good medium after training. So I was always intrigued because it always led me to believe that. While you could channel, you couldn't necessarily be a medium.
Well, we wouldn't agree with that point of view because we would view that all channeling is all channeling. And if one could channel multidimensional non-physical beings or the angelic realm or the elemental realm or ascended masters, we would respectfully say there's nothing different than channeling those great beings versus channeling someone who's been recently on the planet. At this moment in time, we don't have a frame of reference for ectoplasm.
Okay, thanks.
And this is not meant to disregard what was being said. But also, what we would ask you is, when were you hearing that from the spiritualist person?
Oh, that was a few years ago, maybe 20. I don't know.
So, which isn't that long ago. The idea that the world and our understanding of our capacities is rapidly growing and changing and expanding, and paradigms that have been in place are have been it's not that they've been changed, but they've been understood in new and different ways, correct? Where we could look back at what was understood 100 years ago or 50 years ago or even 30 years ago, and as we're in our phases of awakening, we understand more about what's always been there, but we just didn't understand. We're expanding more into that potential. And we would say to you, all of you have been born with an innate, it's just as natural for you to channel as it is for the fact that you could walk and talk and do all the things you do and think and speak, all those things. Which are, you would say, well, that's natural. If my body is full and complete, all those things are natural to who I am as a human being. And your ability to tap into the energetic field around you is absolutely 100% natural to you, just as natural as everything else you've grown into. The difference is it was never cultivate it. You were encouraged to walk. You were encouraged to feed yourself. You were encouraged to learn to talk. You were encouraged to do all the things that you've done by life, by your parents, your family, society, school, all of that. But there hasn't been on this planet for millennia the consciousness, by and large, in a wholesale way, to augment and train and encourage that capacity. But it still was there at the point of your incarnation.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Malena. Alicia, go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to ask, with reincarnation, and if someone wants to channel, let's say their dad, and their dad has reincarnated or is in the process of reincarnation and reincarnating as in a different, you know, maybe coming back as an animal or a different person, definitely a different person, would they still be able to be contacted, or would you just have to tell the person that they're unavailable, I guess?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. And that's not a very satisfactory answer, but there are times when there are soul aspects that are still available that are not fully engaged in the reincarnation. And there are times when the soul reincarnates and they are not available. And all you would know if they're not available is that they're not available. If they're not present, all you know is they're not here. They won't be able to give you the information that they are reincarnated or they're not interested in engaging or otherwise occupied in that kind of way. So the reality is that isn't a very satisfactory answer, but there's not a clear-cut answer to that. There are some souls who we would say are evolved enough that they can be reincarnated and you can still speak to and interact with a previous incarnation of them, but not all.
Okay. I was just curious, and also because animals, they reincarnate so quickly sometimes that if someone wanted to connect with an animal who's passed, I would imagine that it would be difficult if they're already back on the plane, on the earth realm in a different form. Maybe they came back as a frog before they were a dog. Just.
And the animal kingdom is a very different conversation because there's more of a collective consciousness around the animals. They aren't always as individuated as the human experience is. So it's, if you have a special dog and they, by the way, if you have a special dog that is a dog that's around humans, they will likely not become a frog again. They will likely come back as another dog or maybe a cat. They will probably still be around humans again.
Okay.
But the difference with the animal kingdom, if we take the example of a dog that was very special to you, and when they reincarnate, they're moving still in a collective into a collective consciousness of the dog kingdom, if you will, or the dog species in the animal kingdom. So there's less individuation for them. So we would say most of the time you would not be able to speak to them again if they are back in a physical body on the planet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. There are also human souls who move on, we would say, who aren't waiting for another incarnation. and they're not required to have any more incarnations. And they've moved on to other levels where they might not be available from that perspective also. That's rarer, but it does happen. So let's end this moment for now and wrap this up so you all have a chance to do some practice. Be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. Whoa. That was fascinating for me. All right. I had no idea some of that stuff was going to come out of my mouth. So that was interesting. All right. So how's everyone feeling? Good? All right. So let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. We have 9. Am I right? No. We should have 10 because I'm 1. Right. Thank you.
Bio break?
Yes, we'll do a bio. Okay. Let's do a bio break and then I'll come back and give you direction. I'll flip that around. Okay. So can we do 5 minutes? Is that all right? Okay. Let's come back at 17 after the hour, and then I'll have you in your breakout rooms and everything. Thank you. All right. So what we're going to do is, oh, right. Okay. So Kevin will do that at the end. Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is break out into our breakout rooms. Sorry. I really apologize. I like to come back better from the channeling, and I'm not doing that well coming back in. That's why I could not count 10. Sorry. So you're paired up, and what you're going to do is practice mediumship. Follow the steps that the High Council of Orion shared the best you can. And so what you might want to do right now is, if there's someone on the other side who you'd like to chat with, bring that to mind. And if you're not sure, or, you know, just open up to whatever. Most of us have somebody on the other side who we'd be curious about. Now, this does not have to be a troubled relationship. It could be a fabulous relationship. You know, we often talk about mediumship in terms of resolving things that are problematic. It doesn't have to be. It could be wonderful. And you just want to hear from them again. All right. So we all have somebody on the other side. And then if you're the channel, if you're the medium, then you tune in the way they suggested and open up and just be willing to share, like, I feel like it's a man, or I feel like it's a woman, or this is what I'm feeling and sensing. It's okay. Be vulnerable to allow whatever you believe to be there is there. You've already done lots of channeling, so you already have experience with that. Okay. So what we're going to do is do this for 30 minutes total. And so you'll have, it's not really 15 minutes each channeling, but you have 15 minutes each. All right. Are we good? I've got like all these screens in front of, all right, everyone good? Yeah. So
I actually totally spaced out when they were explaining what to do. So you just said, as they told you to do. I don't know what they told us to do.
Well, hopefully whoever you're with will know how to do that.
Perfect. Yes, that's what I'm
hoping. Okay. I'm sure they will. I know they will. Actually, I'm just looking at who just got paired up with. So, all right, have fun, and I'll see you in 30 minutes, and I'll send a message in halfway through. So how did it go? Please go ahead, Andrea.
That was amazing.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure who I wanted to talk to. I was thinking my mom or my dad. And just before I was with Mireille, and just before she started channeling for me, I saw my grandfather come in on my right side. And I went, oh, okay. And then that was exactly who she channeled. It was amazing.
Wow.
She saw him. She was telling me she saw a gentleman with his cane. And I was going, oh, my God, it's Grandpa. And yeah, he had some great messages for me, telling me to enjoy life and to listen to music and to dance and just relax and read some books and dance and be happy. It was beautiful.
Sounds lovely.
She did a great job. She did
awesome.
A great job.
Thanks for sharing. Mireille,
thank
your
you.
Answer.
And be our number one priority. It was amazing. Can you believe? Then it was a breaking in the chain of slavery on my side tonight.
Wait, a breaking a chain of what?
Slavery.
Is that all? Wow. That's huge.
That is unbelievable. It was, it was great message from Andrea. I'm speechless, but I had to share the message tonight.
Well, thank you for that. How exciting. And it'll be fun. That sounds like it's such a big thing, right? That it'll be interesting to see how that feels to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I said to Andrea. So I might feel a change in the energy, and for my sisters as well, because it's all the lineage, you know. So it's so interesting. So it was like a miracle tonight. So thank you, Andrea.
Wow. Way to kick it off. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Bree, please go ahead.
Well, it was really fun. Carol and I swapped, and we both wanted to talk to our fathers, and we both knew each other's father. So that was really fun. That, like, and she came through with my father's nickname in his family growing up. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's the family nickname that, you know, so it's like, she didn't know that, you know, so it was really fun. And we had known each other's fathers, you know, when they were older, but we were kind of getting them when they were younger, mm-hmm. maybe in their 30s or something, and just was really great. And we both, well, for me, I was so appreciative of what my father raised us like, to go out and play and be in nature. And, you know, every night almost every night we had a fire, and just between the potty break and the starting, I built a quick fire, and I was like, oh, here's the fire. Here's Dad. You know, it's like, so it was really lovely.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. Thank you. Carol, please go ahead.
And Ree, I mean, when she said we both got our dads when they were like late 20s, early 30s, and she was able to see his face in this one picture that I have in my bedroom, which, you know, I mean, she hasn't seen it for a while, so it wouldn't be something that she would come up with, but she saw him, and it was like they were both in their prime. And they, you know, her dad came through very playful and just, you know, almost pranksterish. And it was just, you know, it was, his energy was so fun. And, but also just the images and the messages that came through from him. It was amazing about, you know, it was like using the house as extending a way to keep the family together still in this generation and in future generations too, that, and he built the house. He totally built their house. So it was like his blood, sweat, and tears, and his love was in the house. Kind of like moms will say, or grandmas will say, oh, I put my love in my cooking. Well, he put his love in the house. So nice. The house, that extension. So that, you know, that kind of stuff came through. So it was really, I was like thinking, I don't know how this is going to work, but I was really glad for the experience.
But it did. Excellent. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. Yay. Who else would like to share? Candace and then Gina.
Yeah, I just want to share. It's so nice to have some guidance because it's these things are so overwhelming to me without it. But then with having the container of, okay, now you're going to do this and we'll keep it simple. And then the information's just there. It's so nice. And it's surprising. And of course, I'm still developing, but stuff did come through. And I was like, oh, I am feeling something, or I am sensing something, or I'm pretty sure this is accurate. And so it's nice to have the container to feel safe in as we are exploring this.
Awesome. Thank you. Gina, your turn.
Well, Elizabeth brought through some really beautiful messages from my father, which I really, really appreciated. So great. And then when I was channeling for her, her grandmother came through. And the thing that was so interesting was that her grandmother had a very different way of speaking than I speak.
Mm.
And just the inflection and the use of words, it was just different. And it was really cool to allow that to come through. It's very interesting.
Nice. Yay. Good job, everyone. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
So I did not want to do this tonight. And when you said we were doing mediumship, it's like I wanted to leave the class.
Glad you stayed.
Glad I did too. So I cried through my whole message with her. And I actually got to say something to her and clear something up that I didn't get to before she left.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so one of those healing moments. So thank you.
How's that feel?
Oh, it feels good. Wouldn't know through the tears, but it feels good.
Tears are good. You know, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you stayed. And, you know, it's those moments of tension like that, that we know there's something there that wants to happen. So I'm glad you stayed and you hung in there with that and you were able to receive that message. And just take care of yourself right now. Okay.
And by the way, she's really good, Gina. If you want to do it, yeah, go to her. Good. She nailed it.
Good job. Okay, Alicia, your turn.
I just wanted to offer that I'm not usually that great at visuals, but with this one, the visuals that came through were so clear, very, very crisp, very easy to see. It was just almost as visual as the 3D. because and then when I was working with Grant, the godfather of Kevin. I just, the images that he sent me were very crisp and clear, and I was just very appreciative, and Kevin said they were accurate. So it just made me feel like I'm doing the right thing, made me feel like I'm doing, I got it. So that was nice.
Good job. Yay. Excellent. Kevin, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Alicia did a great job. I was kind of like, I felt like a fish out of water myself. For me, it wasn't visual at all, and I'm a visual person. It was very emotional rather than visual. So I guess you gotta crawl before you learn to walk. Now, did you want me to share this picture with the story?
Yeah. Can you share? Right. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, I'm gonna send it to everyone in the chat. If you look in the chat and you double click on that picture, at least on a Mac, it'll pop out. So if anyone wonders about spirit being close, the woman in the picture is my sister, and that was taken at my daughter's wedding on film. And that's not artifact. If you look closely at the picture, that's actually the form of a person wrapped around her in the mist. All right. That was taken 6 months after our father passed away. And that was the first family function we had subsequent to his funeral. But the story is that my father and my sister used to dance at every family function. That was their thing. My mother had problems, skeletal problems. So she had stopped dancing years before. So she was his dance partner. And I've had this read many times. Everyone has the same story. Absolutely, it's your dad. But we just had that interesting experience where his presence at the wedding was captured on film. So they're there, even if you can't hear them. Yeah, they are there.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And unusual that it could be captured, because that's not just a function of the camera being pointed in the right direction at the right time, but the fact that, I don't know, I always feel like they allow themselves to be captured.
Right. And I think it's also a reflection of the very close relationship they had.
All right. Anyone else feel like they'd like to share? Do you feel complete? We good? Yeah. Andrea.
I just wanted to share that I could actually feel how the women felt in Mireille's lineage as the chains broke and fell away. And it made me want to weep. It was so profound. Just seeing the lineage, the change just falling and falling and falling and breaking for everyone. And this one woman was proclaiming, I'm free, I'm free. Bless her, bless her. It was truly amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I am very touched by all of this and honestly, once again, humbled by really the brilliance of the High Council of Orion. You heard my story about mediumship and my resistance to it. I don't have resistance now, but I don't choose it. Obviously, I wasn't practicing with all of you, but I think there's a lot of meaning here. And whether it's for ourselves or friends and family, or whether we're doing it professionally. So I think it's worthy for us to open up to this aspect of channeling. So thank you all for being willing to do this, and we'll see where the High Council wants to go with this. I feel like we maybe could do more of this, more practice around this. So anyway, I want to share one thing with you all. On a different end of the spectrum, if this comes through, I want to share this. So wait, let me come back. Can everyone see this? Yeah. This is my new granddaughter. She's 1 week old.
Oh, how cute.
This is Sienna Joy. And
she looks older than 1 week, that's for sure.
Does
She's
she?
darling.
She's absolutely tiny, especially relative to the babies that come out of my body. But anyway, she's the younger sister of Silas, my 2-year-old grandson, and my son and his wife who moved here. So I got to hold her and be with her when she was hours old.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
And so that's the other end of it when they
That's right.
back in again, right?
Yeah.
And that is why, not just for her, but all my grandchildren and all the young babies who are coming in, this is why I have hope for the world. The souls still come. So, anyway, on that note, I love you all, and I can't wait to see you again soon. Bye,
Thank you, Holly. Thank you.
everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.